Welcome to the Band of Gamers podcast, episode number 24. My name is Greylock, 3491, and this week I'm joined by Osiris Prime.
Hello, everybody. Good to be back.
And Zeus Adamus.
Hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Welcome back to the show, guys. It's great to see you both. Now, as we do every week, we start off with what we've been playing. And Prime, since you were not here last week, we're going to go ahead and let you get started. So tell us, you know, give us a rundown. What have you been playing the last week or so?
All right. So, nothing too out of the ordinary. I did play the Battleborn beta, which I can't really talk about too much just because of the NDA they have on it. Kind of a MOBA-type game, I guess, is what it's called. And I just don't like that type of game after playing this one. This one seemed to be a little bit more kind of faster, almost kind of a shooter, almost, even though there's, like, different abilities that everybody has and all that. But I just can't get into that genre for some reason. It's just, I don't know, I kind of find it kind of boring, I guess. It's just because basically all the enemies are, like, you know, like sponges, so they're just, you know, taking constant, you know, shots, and you just gotta, you know, keep hitting them, drilling them, and finally, you know, they might die, or, you know, if you get some help yet, you know, you can probably take something down pretty quick, but I don't know, I just find it kind of annoying, I guess, just that kind of battling. So this is probably, like, the third one I've tried. I've tried a little bit of Smite, which I might actually go back and try that one. I don't know, just because of the characters in that are a little bit more interesting, maybe, I guess. But I don't know. It's just, for me, it's just not, my cup of tea. So tried that for a little bit. Played my usual Call of Duty Advanced Warfare, kind of getting ready for the coming week on Black Ops 3. So I'm waiting on that, which drops on a Friday, which I thought was kind of weird. I don't know. Usually everything comes out on Tuesday, but that's dropping on a Friday this week. And then I played Minecraft and Lego Marvel Super Heroes with my son for a little bit over the weekend. And then last but not least, Halo 5, which I did pick up. I did change my mind on that. And I've just been playing the multiplayer, and we'll talk about that a little bit more later on. So that's pretty much it that I've been playing this week. So Zeus, how about you?
It's actually been a pretty decent week for gaming in comparison. You know, for anybody who listened to last week's episode, Gray and I kind of went back and forth, and I talked about a major disruption I'd had involving Steam and my attempt to get my first refund that I've ever requested from them. So I spent a good part of that weekend before that show kind of reconfiguring a lot of my gaming systems. I had also recently swapped out hard drives on some of the other consoles, so this week was kind of getting back to a good routine and a decent schedule gaming-wise, so I joined up with Gray on launch day and played a little Halo 5 multiplayer, so that was pretty cool. And then joined up with him later last week for some co-op, and there were some problems with that, which I think we're going to get into later in the show. And then over the weekend, I went back in and played a little bit of the campaign, just single player. I'd also mentioned last show that I did pick up Forza 6, so I started playing that. Also ran into some interesting problems on that. And then, despite the problems I'd encountered with NBA 2K16 on the PC, I bought the Xbox One version and finally got a chance to play that last night, and it played beautifully. And also over the weekend, I played some Dirt 3 and Grid on my gaming laptop, which is a CyberPower PC FangBook 3. So I got that hooked up and connected my my Xbox 360 controller for PC and played both of those games. And the other thing last week was right before the multiplayer session in Halo 5, I got an Elgato HD60, which is a hardware streaming card, basically a little puck, and I hooked up and configured two PC streaming. So that is where you have a PC dedicated to whatever game that you're playing, and then you use a second PC to actually handle all the streaming. So I got that hooked up. It actually got connected fairly quickly, and I didn't really have any rework. I had to reconfigure where sound was going, because I didn't have any sound the first time, but I was able to get that set up really quickly, and that's really a wonderful setup. That is definitely how I will be streaming any PC games from now on, and I may even go to streaming my console games like that. But I'm definitely going to be streaming any PC games that I play with that configuration from now on. Gray, what about you? What did you play last week?
Well, like you said, I mean, we met up on launch day, Halo 5, played with a lot of great friends, Zeus included, played with Manic Man, Mike, my good friend, Mark, Data 3 Boys, not the first day, because it was taking forever for him and Cage and Duck and some of our other friends. The download was just taking painfully a long time. And it's funny, I bought the disc version, I put it in, and it loaded within an hour, so I guess everybody was just trying to get it in launch day. But so many great friends, Shadow to Claw, Bullet, I'm trying to think of all the great people we played with. What a great time we had. Of course, Wonder Boy V2. And I know I'm forgetting somebody, I apologize. But great times there. Then Mason and I continued our Master Chief Collection Halo 2 co-op. I actually got together with the CAG group, the CAR group, Casual Adult Racers, and got some 4s or 6 in last night, Sunday night. Man, what a great group. You know, at the end of the night, we played some tag. I was laughing out loud. Like, embarrassingly so. It was just so funny trying to play tag in 4s or 6. So, great time. Zeus, I hope you get to join us. Just a really great, what a great group of guys. Solo and Poison Raptor and Chad's Trophy Wife and Ryder, FX Ryder and The Legend and all those guys. Good times in Forza. Now that I got it working, I won't go back into that. Played some Rayman Legends with my grandson. This time I went out on a limb. I've been streaming over at the Gamer Show, and I turned on the voice so you can hear me and my grandson going at it. It's probably kind of boring if you're not, you know, if you don't know me, but my grandson has a way of doing things to get us killed, so it was pretty funny. And tried to stream some NES plays, some Mario Brothers 3, and I guess my little netbook's just, it's only an i3, it just can't do it. Like the stream, you know, I'm using OBS, and the stream is just so choppy, and it's horrible. So, you know, I actually spent quite a bit of time on Saturday looking to build a new PC gaming rig. You know, I've often heard people say you can do it for $500, and no matter what I did, I'm like right around $700, $750, and that's without a case, and that's without a copy of Windows 7, and that's without a like a Blu-ray drive, because I took a look at my old rig. I couldn't believe it. It's a Core 2 Dual, and it's not an i3, i5, i7. It's just a Core 2 Dual, and it's like wicked old. So I did not pull the trigger. You know, I'm self-employed now, so every penny counts these days. But man, it was quite an interesting thing trying to build your own rig and making all the compromises between processors and graphics card. So, in a nutshell, that was my week. You know, I think at this point, let's jump into the news. Prime, you had a story you wanted to talk about, something you saw in the news this week. Why don't you take it away?
Sure. I did have one quick thing kind of going on the Halo 5 Guardians kick here that we're doing tonight, or we will be doing tonight. So I got this from Polygon. This was actually from a few weeks ago, and it's just talking about how they're handling banning people when they do certain things. So, for instance, you can be banned for betrayals, which basically if you kill one of your own teammates, intentional suicides, quits and excessive disconnects, and idling. Rage quitting obviously is quits and excessive disconnects. I'm not sure if... I guess if you just like pull your network cable or just like jump out of the game real quick, if I could quit out of the game, I'm assuming that's what they're talking about there. Idling, obviously, if you're just sitting there doing nothing for, you know, however long. I don't know. And then they didn't really, and then they say that the durations on the ban depend on the severity of the offense. So I don't know. I just always thought this was interesting. That, and, you know, I saw some posts, I think it was on Facebook, about people had, you know, were getting banned already for, you know, doing whatever. Some people are saying they weren't doing anything, but you never know. But I think most of them said they were like 5 minutes or so. So maybe that might be like the default time But I just thought it was, I always thought it was kind of interesting and just kind of, I don't know, do you think if it's, you know, that's a good way to punish people is just to like not have them play the game for like 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes or, you know, people, you know, pluck down their hard-earned money on these money on this game, I don't know, all these games, and then, you know, you can't play it for a certain amount of time. And I think it was, maybe it's Max Payne 3. The one of the ways that they did it is basically kind of just if you started, you know, excessively, you know, doing stuff, you know, quitting or, you know, whatever you were doing, you know, to negatively impact the game, you're just kind of put in the same lobby as, you know, all these other people. I thought that was kind of a good way to do it, you know, since, you know, you're not, you know, punishing people, you know, from not even playing the game, but at least they can play, you know, obviously they're going to be playing with a bunch of other jerks, basically, I guess, but, you know, at least they're still playing. I always thought it was kind of weird just to not let you play. So I don't know what you guys' thoughts on that is.
Well, my only thing would be to make sure that all the hooks are actually there that are necessary to measure what they're punishing you for. You know, the analog to that is with this dispute that I had with Valve over the game refund I wanted. You know, one of the things they'd staked their claim on was that I had played the game for 5 hours, and you know, and they're I guess they're. Their policy, or close to being their policy, is that if you've played for over 2 hours, they're not going to give you a refund. And my thing that I said back to them is, well, you know, the mechanism you guys are using to monitor my gameplay doesn't detect when the game is idle, doesn't detect when the game is paused. So you know, you guys are irrationally and you know, unreasonably punishing me for 5 hours of gameplay when that's not the actual amount of time that I've spent playing the game. Now maybe this Halo system will work because they're also going to punish you for idling. I think that seems maybe a little ridiculous. You know, things happen and sometimes people have to get up from their consoles, but I can definitely see the point of wanting to, you know, I by the same token, I've also disliked, you know, when somebody's taking up a slot in a multiplayer game and then clearly takes off to like go eat dinner and their lifeless avatar is just sitting there in the room not doing anything. So I get it, but. Hopefully it'll be. Hopefully they're getting enough data in order to apply the punishments accurately.
You know, didn't the way they handle this in times past, if your player was idle for so long, you just get booted. So, you know, if you get called to take out the trash or you get called for dinner and you do something silly like, you know, not come back in a couple of minutes, you just get moved out of the server. And as far as idling, I mean, I've seen that a lot in Destiny, where we'll be doing a, you know, we'll be doing a strike. And somebody will come, they'll walk up to a hard part of the strike, and then they'll just go in a corner and not move, you know. And you got to think, well, this guy, he must be running four or five consoles trying to farm experience because why? Who would do that? I mean, what are you reading a book or something? I mean, shut the console off if you're not interested in playing. So, you know, I thought with the best way in the past to do that. Now, look, if you're going to continually kill your own players, yeah, please ban that guy. Give him a 30-minute, 1 hour, 1 day ban. But you know, if you're idling, I think they can just it would just be easy to boot him out of the room. And if you do that a lot, maybe give him a 1 day ban or a 2 day ban, you know, something to say, look, you're really bringing the game down for people, so you know, stop the way you're doing it. But I also like Prime, what you said, you know, just put all the jerks together.
Yeah, in the Call of Duty games, they usually just, yeah, they will just kick you out if you're sitting for like a minute or whatever. So, yeah, it's kind of strange, but I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting. And it kind of reminds me of my late night sessions playing, what is it, Final Fantasy Star Online back on the Dreamcast with one of my friends. He would kind of go in the corner, but it was because he actually fell asleep. So he was just, you know, pushing forward on the button. So he was just sitting there running in the corner. So it was kind of funny. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. Zeus, you got anything for us, news-wise?
Yeah, just two quick things. So, one is that there's a company, I can't remember their exact name, but who's working on a Battletech Kickstarter. So that Kickstarter campaign has blown through all of its goals, and I think the game is predominantly done. It's actually been in some type of play test or beta for, I think, the better part of a month. But the big thing that's going on now is that they're going into the home stretch of this campaign, and what they had not implemented was a way to go about doing PvP. So the game is now is now on this additional fundraiser campaign to try and raise the money for PvP. And I think that they are pretty close to hitting that goal if they haven't already hit it and pushed over. Did any of you, either one of you guys, play the Mech Warrior series back in the day?
I think I played a little bit of one of them. That was a long time ago. I can't even remember like how it even played or anything like that, though, unfortunately, right now.
Yeah, I got a couple of the old Mech Warrior games. Never really got into it super, you know. But I know it was such a rage back then. So I know I got a couple copies here in the home office.
Yeah, Mech Combat for me has always been a huge thing because it's very akin to my love of flight simulators as well. And, you know, and you can use, like, you know, the really advanced, like, flight control systems, you know, your really high-end joysticks with throttle controls, separate throttle controls to control the mech really well.
Did you ever play Shogo? I know this is kind of an odd question, but did you ever play Shogo?
I did not. And, you know, the I guess what I'll call the near... I was about to call them near mech games. Maybe I should call them mech near simulations. Like Armored Core are things I've never gotten into. For me, I felt like it needed to be simulation or not. There was a series that was on the PC that... It's really unfortunate. There were only two iterations of it, Heavy Gear and Heavy Gear 2. And Heavy Gear 2 was just awesome. You would get like these like rollerblades, basically. So kind of like inline skates could like extend from the bottom of your feet, and so you could traverse the map, you know, using kind of thrusters and these inline skates to move around the map really quickly, and you could arrive in combat moving like incredibly fast and just like ambush people. You could use the skates to quickly escape from combat and then re-engage. So it was really, really awesome. You could go prone in the game also because you were heavy gear and the armor was a little more it was armor, but so it wasn't as big and clunky as a Mech Warrior style mech. So I played that, and that was awesome. But yeah, I never played any like the Armored Core series or Shogo.
Was Armored Core the one with that like ginormous controller you can get? I think it was back on like the Xbox, the original Xbox, or was that one of the other games?
That was another game. I think it was called Steel Battalion, I think.
Yeah, that was the one. Yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, was it an original Xbox game? For some reason, I thought it was a 360 game. I'm not sure, but yeah, you could buy. I think the controller and the game together were like $130 or $150, and the statement had been always that controller was going to be leveraged for other games, and it never was. So people who made that investment like just had this really huge peripheral that they could only play one game with.
Yeah, I've only ever seen pictures of it. It looked crazy. It had like two sticks and like all kinds of like buttons and stuff on it. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty insane. So that game is out there, and I'm looking forward to it becoming available. Like I said, I really love mech-style games. I played... When Chrome Hounds came out for the 360, that was literally my group's like multiplayer game for that entire summer. So, you know, we would like get out of work or school early to get home and fire up a Chrome Hounds mission, and we would play for several hours into the wee hours of the morning. So the last thing that I had news-wise is I don't know if anybody is a Mirror's Edge fan. It was one of the few games that I've played all the way through. Even more rare that it was like a... I guess that one was first person. I was about to say it was a third-person action game. But regardless, it was... You know, it was an action game that was something different than a strict first-person shooter. So I played it on the PlayStation 3, really enjoyed it, really loved the fluidity of the movement and the way the game made you feel when you were taking actions in it. But its sequel has been delayed until May of next year. I think it was originally planned for December, or most recently planned for December, and now it has slipped till May. Did either one of you guys play the original Mirror's Edge, or have either one of you been thinking about picking up the sequel?
You know, I did play the original. I loved it. It was different. It was cool. I got stuck about halfway through, and You know, at some point when you can't get through a level, I just drew my hands up. How about you, Prime? Did you play? Do you play Mirror's Edge?
Yes, I actually did. I really did like that game. Something completely different than, I had been playing previously, nothing but, regular first-person shooters, and this was, you could still use guns, but, just kind of running around doing the parkour stuff was kind of, pretty fun. And I guess this one is open world, so that should be interesting. You could just, go anywhere, do anything. I did beat the original one, so it was a really good game. I really liked it. Although the kind of cartoon cutscenes were kind of weird, I thought, but it still, laid out the story pretty well. So yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this. Yeah, and I guess I think it was February. I guess it was supposed to come out, and now it's been pushed back a few months. So that's good, I guess. It's kind of par for the course, I guess, nowadays, and things to get delayed. I guess everybody wants to, make sure, the game's, nice and complete, or at least as complete as it can be before they release it.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, that's not the reason I can buy for games being delayed, because pretty much every game that I've recently bought, Forza, Halo 5, and NBA 2K16 have each had, I won't necessarily call them egregious, because they were, I mean, they were all very, very bad defects, like defects that rendered the game unplayable. It's just a matter of the specific way in which they would get themselves into that fault condition. Sometimes made it important, sometimes made it not really matter. But yeah, that's the unfortunate thing is, for all the games that continue to be delayed, I'm still seeing them show up at launch with serious quality problems. So it doesn't feel like it did like 10 years ago when, when a game was being delayed, they were trying to stomp out bugs that had been found in playtesting. It just seems like maybe they're taking that extra 6 months to prep the first 9 gigabyte launch day patch and the first round of DLC that's actually already in the game that they're going to charge you for.
Yeah, it kind of stinks. I mean, I don't know. Do you guys think it's because of just the way these systems are now? They're just so complicated now, or are the developers just, starting to get lazy and they figure, oh, we can throw out a huge patch, on launch day or within, a week or a few days or something?
I'll let you take that one first, Gray.
I gotta say, as much as I like Halo 5, and hold that thought for a second. We're gonna come back to let's come back to what's going on with all these big patches and releasing games that are not ready. And I'm just gonna go through a couple of news stories real quick. Kind of almost a PSA announcement here. You get Tribes for free. I loved Tribes 2. And recently I saw an article on Polygon that talked about how Tribes, everything from the 90s all the way up to I think 2004, all the Tribes PC games are free. And I gotta be honest with you, I played mostly Tribes 2. What a deep game. What an awesome game. Great sound. Great playability. Kind of crappy weapons. But just a fun game. Order up a ship at the ATM and it pops up out of the ground. And you're going to try to get it before somebody steals it from you. All right, that wasn't so good, but fun game, fun LAN party game to play with the family with a bunch of computers around. So you can get all the Tribes games up until, like I said, from the 90s to the 2000s. Not the latest game, but you can get them all for free. And I'll put a link in the show notes to that. And another thing that I saw that I thought was very interesting. Now, we talk about Kickstarters, right? And I actually, when I saw Descent was going to be a Kickstarter, I jumped in and I paid, and I put my money down, and I'm going to get a copy of the game when it's done. And I haven't been reading all the updates. I get all the email updates, and I'm so busy these days. I haven't been reading every single update the Descent team puts out, but I'm looking forward to it. I gave them my money. I'm going to get a full copy of the digital game. I'm excited about that. Well, this week I noticed that Dragon Slayer. Remember that? Remember that? Oh, I'm sorry. Dragon's Lair. Remember that movie from the game from the 80s where it was like a Laserdisc cartoon game? And the one at my arcade was always broken because you would hit to go left or right and it wouldn't move and you would die. But Dragon's Lair, what a great game. What a new, cool game that was. And they're going to make it into a movie, or they're trying to. Don Bluth, with all his great hits like Secret of Nim, American's Tale, and Anastasia. What a great filmography he has. And he's working with his colleagues to try to get enough money put together to do a full-blown Dragon's Lair movie on Kickstarter now, where I think we're I don't know, 20% in, and he's got about a third the money. So there's a good chance this will actually take off. But in the show notes, I'll throw the link to the Kickstarter. And I have not jumped in yet because, quite honestly, all the rewards for the $10 to $20 mark were nothing I really wanted. So I'm thinking, well, instead of giving him $50 now, I'll just wait till the movie comes out for $9.99 and buy it then. So maybe we can have a future show talking about what motivates you to actually donate to a Kickstarter. For me, it's like I want tangible results. And if I'm funding a movie, I'd like to get a copy of it. If I'm funding a game, I'd like to get a copy of it. So, and it should be in the reasonable realm of what that would cost if you went to the store. So, but those are my two PSAs. So let's circle back around and talk about before we get into Halo, let's talk about what is with games coming out not working, and what is it with these huge day one patches? And I'm going to say something. Halo Master Chief Collection worked extremely well on launch day, unless you were trying to get into certain multiplayer matchmaking matches. I did play co-op, and I did play multiplayer the day Master Chief Collection launched. But somehow they messed up the whole matchmaking thing. They almost defined Halo 2 defined matchmaking, right? And somehow it didn't work. They didn't test it wide enough and broad enough. And I think since that time, we've seen some pretty huge betas, right? We saw a huge Halo 5 beta. We saw a huge Battlefront beta. We saw a huge Destiny beta. And props to Destiny. Game day one, that worked. That worked day one. I think I played it for a year, and I think it was down maybe 2 days out of that entire year. Props to them. But then so many other games like Assassin's Creed Unity and other games had so many issues, and we can go all the way back to all the horror stories I heard about. I didn't experience, but I heard about Battlefield 4. It's like, so yes, was I really unhappy that I had a 9 GB patch day one with Halo 5? Yeah, it's like, what were they thinking? I actually had people like Cajun Duck and Data Three Boys who couldn't play with us because they were stuck in that downloading screen forever. So I don't get it. I don't get it. Do you need I mean, move up your gold day, your final day, your we're shipping it day a month, so you can ship something that doesn't require a 9 GB patch. And if that means you leave out a couple extra features that you deliver a week into the launch, I'm okay with that. So what do you guys think? Let's start with you, Prime. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to just try to get into their heads to see what they're thinking on this, and are they just being lazy, or are they being pressured by the publishers, just to get it out, and like, yeah, you can just patch it later, don't worry about it, and everything will be okay, but like you said, Battlefield and Master Chief, I didn't see the I didn't get Battlefield until I think maybe 4 or 5 months later. So it was when I started playing, it was pretty much playable, at least for me. I think there's even still problems. A lot of people are still having problems then, but I never really had any problems with Battlefield. And I was trying to think of the one game that actually had kept something out. Oh, I think it was Grand Theft Auto 5. They launched the online, the multiplayer section, maybe a week, maybe even a few weeks later. They just kind of released the single player, and and obviously it's a big open world game, so you can pretty much do get lost in that for hours and days and weeks at a time. So I thought that was kind of cool that they did that. Kind of at first I was like, oh, why are they not releasing everything all at once? But I think it kind of worked out in the end for them, even though I think even they still had some problems at the beginning of their online launch. So even even they couldn't totally figure everything out, and I don't know, like I said, I don't know what the deal is and with this newer generation. There's so many patches, and if, like I said, if people are just getting pressured, they just if the, either they're doing it themselves, pressure themselves, or if it's the publisher, or what's going on. So it's just I think unfortunately it's kind of going to be the commonplace nowadays, but we'll I guess we'll see. How about you, Zeus? What do you think? Oh, are you there, Zeus? Did we lose you?
No, I'm still here. I apologize. I guess, you know, my thoughts on it are, I wonder now, particularly from what I've seen with Halo, I think it feels like one of the things that's going on is because the teams are so big, and because they're difficult to manage, it feels like the teams and objectives and requirements for teams for quality are being more widely disseminated. Like, they're not being treated as one core development team. You know, as for instance, I think what Gray might mention in the Halo 5 section, I'll just go ahead and throw it out there, is, you know, if you play Halo 5 single player, the campaign, you'll probably be fine and not see a whole ton of quality issues. But when you try and play those exact same levels in co-op, you're going to hit problems. Now, that would seem to say that the core development team, the ones who wrote the code for the level, did okay. Now, somewhere, some additional layer of content got added on. I don't know if co-op has its own engine that runs concurrently with the main game engine. That's probably a case. Maybe that was one team on their own. By the same token, you know, the network team, the network communications team was probably a different team. So did those teams get different goals and different objectives, were running on a different schedule, and their interdependencies weren't tightly coupled and woven together? And then the sad thing that would mean is that, you know, the core code guys, the core game guys, finished up at some point and was like, you know, kind of wiped their hands, and they were like, hey, we did a great job. You know, those network guys have to suck it, you know, while they have to, you know, finish up the game and finish up quality testing and other stuff. It just seems like there are these seams in the game where one team has gotten something nailed and another team has kind of let something slide.
Yeah, so it's kind of like the, you know, the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing kind of thing, or that, you know, they're, you know, like you said, the one side's done, so they're just like, all right, we're done, we're gonna go do something else now, and, you know, kind of, you know, leave the other team kind of treading water. So I guess that kind of makes sense too. Yeah, I can see where you're coming from that.
Right, and then Gray, I wanted to ask you, have you seen bugs in Forza 6? Just because, you know, one of the things I saw was in a race, I hit a phantom wall. Got near the side of the track and saw an impact go off on the car, but couldn't see any wall. And then the next corner that I came around, there was no scenery. Like, it was just a black screen, and like some fans, you couldn't tell where the track was. Walls were invisible. Have you run into anything like that?
No, it kind of sounds like our Halo match, which I streamed, which I twitched. No, I have not seen that in Forza 6. I have not played a whole lot ever since I had the whole issue getting online, and I had to reset the router and flash the firmware and jump through all kinds of hoops, even though hundreds of other games I own have no problems working. Forza 6 required me to jump through all those hoops, but I have not seen anything like that. I have had AI cars run into me and make it a little challenging, but I just chuck that up to, hey, next time I run them off the road, I won't feel so bad. But, no, that's the biggest glitch I've seen in Forza 6 so far, is the AI cards just sometimes seem a little too aggressive. Have not had any of the experiences like I had last week in Halo 5 in Forza. Not yet, no.
Cool. So did you want to go ahead and roll on to the Halo 5 discussion?
Yeah, let's go ahead. And, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, I played, you know, it's always dangerous. As experienced gamers that we are, we know we're you're living on the bleeding edge when you say, hey, why don't we get together launch night and play, right? Because that is probably the worst day to play any game, is the day it comes out. Because, you know, things are going to happen. You know, day one, nothing goes smoothly, right? And so we experienced some of that. But we still had a good time, met up with a bunch of friends, I think 7 or 8 of us, ended up meeting up and playing over the course of the night. I had a lot of lag early on. And after a while, though, it seemed to settle out. And I'm sure somebody behind the scenes was working very hard to try to get people lag-free experiences. I also had a lot of lag on the co-op the day after. And after a while, it seemed to move to Zeus. So it wasn't just me. Zeus was having the problem. And then eventually, I think everybody kind of settled down. And if I sit back, and this is probably totally wrong, but if I sit back and examine those two nights, I really feel like the people at Bungie, their servers were not picking highly qualified service for the people who wanted to play in them. In other words, I actually created my very own match with nobody in it, and I was having lag, not a whole bunch, but I had some whopping going on, and it's like, it's just me. The server must be like in China or or Greece or somewhere across the, because why am I having lag? I have Time Warner's Ultra Internet or whatever it is. I think it's the best I can get in my area, and I'm having lag, and I'm the only one on the map. So, as the night went on, I had and I streamed this at the Gamers Show. I was stuck in the geometry, and I couldn't see half of the map. I had to actually quit and rejoin to get rid of the lag, and just very strange indeed. But after a little bit of lag, the game, started playing well, and I had a lot of fun. And I had a lot of fun in Warzone. I really enjoyed that. You have to be with friends and play as a team. Slayer felt to me like Call of Duty. I'm just running around the map killing people who kill my friends. SWAT was definitely, you take your luck at getting a headshot because otherwise you're dead. But I enjoyed the campaign too. I feel like a little rushed. I think I enjoy a little bit slower pace, I don't know if it's just because of me, because I'm trying to get some kills before everybody else kills everybody, or if it's the game itself. But I'm enjoying it, thoroughly enjoying Halo 5. Do not regret the purchase. Kind of a little sad that we had so much lag on launch day and the day after, but I got confidence that the guys over at Bungie will get that all figured out, and I look forward to playing it. Look forward to continue playing it. So I give it a thumbs up. A little bit of lag there, kind of was a little downer, but so far I'm very happy with it. Zeus, you also got it launch day. What do you think of? Give us your impressions of Halo 5.
I'm really enjoying it so far. I skipped four, and I only really regard the numerical releases of Halo as being, the part of Halo that I'm interested in. So I skipped four, and I skipped ODST. Oh, and I and we should it, just a minor. I mean, it's 343 Studios, right? I mean, Bungie's off.
Oh,
the
I'm yes. I'm sorry. You're absolutely
No,
right.
no,
Three
no.
four three. Totally not Bungie, totally 343. Sorry about that.
Right, wouldn't bother me, but the guys at 343 Studios might be a bit upset.
Yes, and Bungie is on Destiny, they're not on Halo 5, so, oh man, what
Right.
a faux pas. Sorry, thank you for correcting me.
No, and that's a good point. I mentioned it a bit during our co-op. I guess it's not a hard problem, but man, there's a lot of similarity between enemies in Halo 5 and enemies in Destiny. Just in terms of, I guess they're the Fallen, that, the knights look very similar to Destiny knights, and a couple of the other skins and models. The Covenant, they're their own thing, but somehow, despite not being anywhere near each other, those two completely different development teams came up with some very similar design choices for enemies. It's hard to ignore that. Again, it's not a problem for me. It's just, I guess most of all, it's distracting and a little disappointing. Single player is good. I like the weapon selection. I like, the chatter from the squad when you're playing single player. I've only played maybe the first hour and a half of the single player campaign, so I like the going back and forth between Locke and Master Chief. Still a little disappointed that I haven't seen dual wielding at this point. I'll say the thing that I enjoy the most is the additional moves that they've added. Maybe those moves have been there, maybe they were in four, I don't know, but the high jump smashing fist thing is neat. Again, it reminds me a lot of a move in Destiny, but I still like it. And I like the booster pack. and the running smash, both to get through walls, but especially as an additional melee attack. But the thing that's most impressive to me is the verticality of the levels. The ability to get to high altitude and to mantle up to higher positions and snipe from there, or that split second moment where you're in a great high position, you know, Overwatch, and enemies either fly up to engage you and you quickly shift to melee, or there's a guy on the ground who for some reason is incredibly accurate and is giving you damage, and you kind of in your head say, you know, forget that, and you holster your weapon and do a big jump down to the ground, and then, you know, bum rush the guy and shoulder charge him. That's just very exciting. And so Halo, however they do it, does the best mix in that kind of quick transition and the feeling of that transition from going from range combat to melee, and allow you to go back and forth between two types, you know, to hit a person with a distance weapon, charge them and engage in melee, and then quickly switch to like a short range weapon to engage, you know, enemies at medium range. I just love that feeling. Osiris, what have been your thoughts about the game so far?
Yeah, so I didn't pick it up, but download it until Saturday, like late Saturday night. I started to download like around maybe 8:30 or so, 8 o'clock, and it didn't finish until probably 12:30, maybe like around midnight or so. So I only got to play a couple hours of it Saturday night into Sunday morning. So I played mostly just multiplayer. Actually, as a whole, I haven't played any of the single player yet, and then I haven't played Warzone at all yet either. So kind of just wanted to, I know that was kind of, you know, like the bigger, not big team battle, but it's a bigger match, bigger teams and stuff like that. So, and there's a lot more going on than the normal, you know, Slayer, you know, team objectives and stuff like that. So I want to kind of get used to the game, because I knew there was, you know, like you said, the thrusters and all this other stuff you can do now. So I just played, like I said, Saturday night, I just played, it was just the team objectives playlist, which I think is the first option. I forgot what it's called exactly, but so I played, you know, that variety of the matches, like, you know, capture the flag and not hardpoint, I forgot what they call it. Maybe it's called hardpoint in Halo, but the way you just capture the, you know, the different sections on the map and, you know, hold those and stuff like that. And then Sunday night, I played again last night, and I was just playing the regular Team Slayer matches. And actually, that first night, I was doing, like, really well, which is kind of surprising, because I had, like, I kind of mentioned a little bit to Gray before we started recording that, you know, I had been playing the Master Chief collection, you know, kind of leading up to Saturday, because I was kind of going back and forth whether I was going to pick up Halo 5. So, you know, I kind of wanted to go through that, and it does play different than previous games, even 4, which I did play through 4. It's been a while, though, so, and I don't think there was, like, a jetpack or thrusters or anything like that, not that I can remember. Maybe Gray, if you remember, I think, I don't know if you played it recently, but I think that's a newer addition. So I was doing pretty well Saturday, and then Sunday night, last night when I was playing, I don't know if it was just the teams I was on or what was going on, but I think I pretty much lost every match. And I know, I think it was Cajun Duck, he had mentioned on the Casual Adult Gamers site, you know, if you don't play as a team, even in like Team Slayer, you know, you're pretty much going to get, you know, pretty much stomped on, which I was last night. So, but it's interesting. It's like we were talking about earlier, Gray, you know, the different, and like you mentioned, Zeus, the thrusters is, you know, it's kind of a cool addition. And like you said, you can, you know, grab onto ledges now. You can, you know, if you do the kind of like the double jump, if you're close to a ledge, you'll, you know, grab onto it and, you know, lift yourself up. So that's kind of cool, especially during the multiplayer. So there's a lot of, like, different ways you can try to get away from people now and, you know, try to, you know, stand your ground, maybe, like, jump around a corner, you know, or something like that. So you kind of wait for people to come to you. Other than that, it's... I mean, the graphics are great. I know you guys were having some issues, but I didn't have any issues playing Saturday or Sunday night. It was pretty smooth. Seems to find, you know, matches fairly quick, pretty quick. Compared to, you know, the previous Master Chief Collection or even other games like Call of Duty and Battlefield and stuff like that. Pretty on par with those. I don't know, what do you guys think of the rec cards? It kind of reminds me of, like, if you guys play Titanfall, I know, Gray, you have Zeus, I'm not sure if you have or not, but kind of like the, you know, the cards you get with the different weapon. Well, it's like weapons and abilities in Titanfall. Here, it looks like it's weapons and vehicles, and you get different armor and stuff like that on Halo 5. So, I don't know, what do you guys think about the red cards?
Yeah, it's very interesting. There is a component there that really does feel like the burn cards. I think last time we played Titanfall was telling me I had so many burn cards that I had too many. And I'm like, but when am I going to use them? We're just going from match to match to match. And in Warzone, the red cards are important because you spawn with the two least effective guns, at least in my opinion, in the game. And if you want to be competitive, man, you got to turn in some of your rec cards. Now, you earn money over time, almost, I don't know, maybe this is kind of shallow to say it like this, but almost like Counter-Strike. So as you get points as you play, you can buy rec cards, packs, and they'll unlock and they'll give you better weapons like the DMR or the Needler or rocket launcher. I know at one point I got the fuel rod cannon. I was pretty excited about that. And you can get warthogs and tanks and all kinds of good stuff. So it's very important, I think. And I love how they let you do that in the death screen when you're respawning. And by the way, I love how they don't force you to respawn. So you can go in, you can pick out your weapons, and there's no, at least when I played, I didn't see any timer saying, oh, you got 5 seconds to pick your weapons and get back in. So I think it did add a level of, okay, I have to choose what I want, but at least I get a choice. I can choose. Do I want a needle or do I want this? Do I want that? And it makes you value your weapons. And also, when you first start out, makes you keep your eye on the ground for somebody who may have just died who dropped a good weapon. Because you start off with your typical, handgun and machine gun and, the same two guns you started off Halo 1 with, and they've been, nerfed so much over the years that they're not very good. So, no, I enjoyed it. I still trying to learn it, still trying to figure it out, but I thought it did add, at least it gave you some choice when you spawned. There was a reason why you couldn't just choose from any weapon in the entire arsenal. You only could choose the ones you had the rec cards for. Now hopefully they keep giving us points and giving us some money so we can buy them and not have to actually spend, the microtransaction $2.99 or whatever, because I won't do that. Hopefully we can earn enough to just through normal gameplay to have a variety of choice when we go and play. So I did enjoy that. And I thought that was good. Zeus, what did you think of the whole rec system?
I have not figured it out, and I have not invested the time to figure it out. I'm not sure if you guys remember, but we kind of had that discussion during one of the talks about Destiny, where one of my problems with Destiny is there was kind of this effort to funnel you deliberately outside of the game and to bury some things so deep that the only way you could really understand them would be to go to the web and read a game. A Destinypedia or, look up stuff on the Destiny website, and I'm just not going to do that. Like, if I cannot plainly figure it out from within the confines of the game, with sufficient tutorials and hints, right? And in general, I'm also not going to expend like 30 minutes playing a tutorial. So when I say tutorial, I mean like, the equivalent of a mouse tip flyover or descriptive text about a feature or a thing that kind of informs me on how I need to use it within the boundaries of the game, that I'm not going to engage on it. So now with Halo 5, I bought, and I can't remember, it's maybe the Ultimate Edition or whatever the, trying to think. So Forza 6, I bought the Ultimate one. Halo, I think I bought like the middle one, so it's like not the it wasn't like the $99.99 one, but I think it was like the $85. So I bought something and I got, I think, like 7,000 or 7,500 rec, and I really just haven't expended it yet. So eventually I'm going to need to figure it out, but I'm just not incentivized to do it up front.
Yeah, I know. Some of the things you get are kind of like just like experience points, which I think only like those ones and maybe like the armor and stuff you can use when you're playing the arena, the team arena mode. And then you can't use like the guns and the Warthog and all that other stuff in the arena mode. You can only use those in Warzone. But so it's kind of like Battlefield, how you can get that you know, 25 or 50% boost of, you know, XP, you know, when you're playing. You can slot that in there and, you know, get that percentage. So I don't know. Like I said, I haven't played Warzone yet, so I hadn't figured out that other stuff. I just kind of read about that online. So that's pretty much all the rec cards are. It's just guns and stuff for the different modes. So it's not like Destiny with the Grimmar cards, where it's actually giving you, like, you know, or at least not as far as I've seen, giving you like the lore of the game and stuff like that. So it's more just gameplay stuff. And I think I've actually bought two. I think two packs of rec cards so far, just out of the two nights I've played. So I think you'll get points, you know, fairly easily by playing the multiplayer at least. I don't know if you get rec points at all doing like co-op or anything like that, or even the single player. So I haven't read anything about that yet. So I think it'll be pretty easy. You know, you don't have to, you know, buy it with real money. So hopefully it'll, you know, as you play, you'll get more points and be able to buy packs. And I think you get some, you know, as you reach each level, as you're progressing too.
So, Gray, I wanted to ask you. So, you uninstalled Destiny, if I remember correctly, either before or right after digitally downloading Halo 5. After this first week of getting some saddle time with Halo 5, do you see yourself reinstalling Destiny, or do you see Halo 5 as kind of being your all-encompassing game for the remainder of the holiday season that's going to carry you, you know, across the Thanksgiving break and into Christmas? Or do you see enough chinks in Halo 5's armor that you feel like it's warranted to go ahead and reinstall Destiny 5 and play that game alongside Halo 5?
Yeah, that's a good question, Zeus. You know, my first year with the Xbox, I did not get the Xbox One on launch. I got it, I think, 9 months later. And a lot of the games I bought that first year, I never really played a lot. Call of Duty Ghosts, I did do the whole single player, but I never played any multiplayer. I bought Battlefield 4 on sale on the PC and on the Xbox One. I probably have a total of an hour into it, whereas Battlefield 3, I think I had 300, 400 hours. You know, Battlefield Hardline, I feel horrible. I spent all the money on that game, and I have an hour into it. So, you know, a lot of what happened to me in my first year of Xbox One was Destiny. I just loved the game. You know, I was very sad that the latest expansion killed off the first two expansions I purchased. Have I beat that horse dead or yet or not? But you know,
No, you keep
you know
doing
when
it
it
too.
came, so you know, I'm looking at the games on my hard drive, and I'm like, I need a room. I don't want to buy again. I'm counting my pennies. I'm self-employed, so I'm unemployed, and I'd love to go out and buy a nice big hard drive, but I don't have the money. So, I'm counting my pennies, and I'm like, what am I gonna take off the hard drive? And I think I've played Destiny out. You know, there's not much you can do, or at least, you know, all my strike lists and and bounties are gone. So why keep Destiny on my hard drive, right? So, you know, I deleted it. And, you know, I can always jump in and play it on the 360. My buddy Mace has it on the 360. You know, we did the buy to digital on the 360, get the free Xbox One version. So I can always jump back in and play Destiny on the 360. But, except last time I did that, there was like a 5 GB patch I had to download, and we ended up playing Vegas too. But, you know, I'm for me, the fall is all about, and there's so many great games, right? We got Vegas, right? We got Black Ops 3. We got all these other games, a new StarCraft game. We got all these great games coming out. But for me, the fall is all about Forza 6, now that I got it working, no thanks to Turn 10 Studios and Microsoft, and Microsoft support and Turn 10 Studios support. Halo 5 and Battlefront. I know some people are saying they're not going to do Battlefront, or they're holding back, but I got a feeling that's going to be a big game, so I'm planning on getting it. I like the beta for that. And that those are my three games, and I'm a huge Rainbow fan, but no single player means no rush. You know, if it's just going to be Terrace Hunt with me and a friend, we can do that next year sometime when we get bored. You know, there's no rush to go out and do that. You know, Mace and I got through Portal 2. I think Portal 2 had been out for 2, 3 years by the time Mace and I got around to it and played the co-op through. So, you know, if Rainbow Six is just going to be, you know, the new Counter-Strike, there's no rush in getting it for me. But yeah, so for Forza 6, Halo 5, Battlefront. Those are my three games for this half of the year. Don't see anything early next year that I'm really dying to buy, although No Man's Sky is probably the next game out there I'm looking at, and probably on the PC because, unless I come into some money and can pick up a PS4. So that's it for me. And that's an interesting question though, Zeus, and for you too, Prime. But we'll go to you first, Zeus. What do you see your fall winter playlist being?
Man, that is a big, tough question. Because we're kind of wide open, full throttle right now, with finally feeling like I'm getting my hands around streaming. So that's of interest to me. And I my big thing is I think I want my shtick to be this guy who streams just a very largely diversified backlog of games. I think I play so many different things on so many different systems. I think that might be interesting to some people to be able to come to a streaming channel that has a high likelihood to have some game on some system that you haven't seen streamed before. So that's one. Two, I kind of feel like we're at halftime in the holiday release season. It feels like there are a bunch of games that came out in September and October. It feels like maybe we've got a breather in the couple weeks of November going into Thanksgiving. And right now I've kind of stocked up on Halo 5, Forza 6, and NBA 2K16. I feel like NBA 2K16 is really well tuned, so there's the chance that I could wind up dumping a lot of hours into that. I'm not perfectly clear on what I might be into on the PS4, although I did get a pretty solid recommendation on Assassin's Creed Syndicate from a coworker today, which I found really surprising, so I may jump in on that. I'll definitely say I definitely expect to play lots of Halo 5, lots of Forza 6, and lots of NBA 2K. So there's three Xbox One games that I've just recently purchased. I see definitely going through most of the holiday season, but where I am right now is, I'm getting back into multiplayer and getting back into gaming, being social. So, if I see the flare come up, go up from you guys or other people on CAG who are like, we're definitely getting this game for this system. I'm definitely going to be there to fill out like my multiplayer weekly schedule. But I'm very bullish on PC games now. And like I said, in streaming and using that two PC rig, so there's a good chance that any of those three games that I'm focused on now could easily be disrupted by something on another platform. Osiris, what about you, man? Where do you think you're going to settle out for the holiday season in your game time?
Yeah, I actually like a few months ago, I actually had a fairly large list, like at least a half a dozen games that I wanted to get this holiday season. But since then, I've kind of realized that there's just no way that I'd be able to, give that much attention to, all those games. So I want, actually, I already have Halo 5, and I already pre-ordered and pre-downloaded Black Ops 3, so I'll begin that this Friday. So that's like two major shooters that I'll be, devoting, just multiplayer time to those. So I wanted to get Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, because I really like the first one. Well, I shouldn't say the first one, the reboot, Tomb Raider. But I'm probably going to pass on that for now and probably wait till later next year to get that, along with Just Cause 3, which is another great game that, or another game that I was really looking forward to. That's definitely not gonna happen because that's, an open world game. And I have seen some videos. There was somebody on one of the Let's Play people that I watch on YouTube. Actually, I guess he got like an early version, so he was throwing videos up there, like three or four videos, of him playing it, and it looks really cool. But I'm just there's no way I'd be able to, go through a big open world game like that. I still have, you're talking about back catalog. I still have all kinds of games, that I'm trying to go through. Each weekend I try to at least play an hour or so of, one of my back catalog games, Watch Dogs, which I'm actually playing right now. I'm still trying to finish that. So, and unfortunately, I haven't had a lot of time the last couple weekends, so I haven't even been able to go through that. I've just been trying to get, jump into, like Call of Duty and now Halo 5 and Black Ops when it comes out, when I can, just so I can, get a quick fix in, and then I got to go to bed, and still got to get sleep, unfortunately. So yeah, I'm probably just gonna stick with Halo 5 and Black Ops for now. Maybe, hopefully around Christmas time I can get Battlefield 4, or I'm sorry, Battlefront. So I know a few of the people on CAG wanted to play that, so hopefully I'll be able to get that also. But probably just those, two to three games for right now, and I'm gonna be concentrating on, along with trying to get through my back catalog. So that's about it for me.
And just to piggyback on that, Gray, I will mention one game that is definitively on my radar will be the new Need for Speed. I will be waiting to see reviews hit about that, but if the reviews are good, I'll definitely be adding that one to my catalog.
Yeah, I know a couple of shows back, you and DB seemed both very excited about that. And I think Ryder from CAG is also very excited about that too. He was talking about it in the Forza room. Love to have you join us in Forza next week if you're around Zeus. But I think I'm looking at the time here. I think we're going to wrap up the show. I really appreciate you guys not only coming out for the podcast, but also look forward to playing with you guys in the coming days in Halo 5. But for today, that's going to be it for this episode of the Band of Gamers podcast. Now, if you look at our website this week, it's a little bit in disarray. We upgraded to some brand new, latest and greatest forum software, and a lot of the little things that were annoying me are fixed now. So, like when I go to like somebody's post, the whole page doesn't reload anymore, thank goodness. But yeah, it just kind of looks plain and white. So we're working on it. We'll get that really cool look and feel back there for the Band of Gamers .net website, in the next few days. But in the meantime, feel free to join in the conversation. You can talk to the guys from the CAG NFL, Band of Gamers, Casual Adult Gamers, my blog, the Gamer Site, and just we all share the same forum. So feel free to stop by. And if you want to talk to us specifically at the podcast, feel free to drop us an email at podcast@bandagamers.net. And you can also sign up for the podcast if you want to be a guest attendee and co-host here. We'd love to have you. And that's it. I'm Greylock3491. And on behalf of Osiris Prime and Zeus Adamus, I want to thank you all for listening to this week's show. And until next time we talk, peace.